Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Good to be with everyone today. It is Tuesday, February 26, 2019. The big news is the president of the United States is making his way to Vietnam, and there's a lot of very interesting conversation that could be had around that. And so we're going to be looking forward to knowing exactly what this meeting is going to entail. But I've got to tell you, be very honest, and I want to pray that the grace of God can really relay information here. In the last week or so, we have been on several radio stations and radio broadcasts and reading prophetic things and not really knowing all of the political stuff that's going on, not thinking about it. You know what I mean by that? Where you're just kind of, you're flowing with the Holy Spirit. You're not thinking about what's going on in the world. You're not trying to, you know, take bits and pieces of what's going on in the world and then connect it to spiritual things. No, we're more engaged in spiritual things, and then we look up and we realize that there are things going on in the world that are kind of connecting to what we've been saying. And I'll give you an example. On Sunday morning and the Wednesday before that, and you know, last couple of weeks, if you've been listening to our broadcast, one of the messages that I brought forth, particularly on Sunday on KERM Radio, was the desolation of America. And I have that lined up and ready to go for this morning if we really are led to go in that direction. And the whole idea of the desolation of America was all about nuclear bombs being detonated in major cities across this country. And it goes back to Jeremiah chapter 4. You heard me teach on that last week as well. Jeremiah chapter 4, and then came the desolation of America on Sunday. And all of a sudden, I'm getting emails today that Russia is putting television news out there, I guess in the Russian TV, about the specific targets that they would target in a nuclear exchange. I woke up this morning, I received two of these from some friends, and I thought to myself, you know, what is this really? I mean, when I step out and I read Jeremiah chapter 4, and I talk, and I just let God's word speak. And, you know, at that moment, it doesn't matter what the politicians are saying. It doesn't matter what things look like through our natural vision or what we hear with our natural ear. We are to be tuned into what we see and hear in the Word of God, right? That's your job. That's my job. I must hear and understand what God's word is saying. I must see and perceive what God is doing. And when I look through the biblical lens at the signs of the times, I marvel, and I read Jeremiah 4 and I say, okay, this is the word of the Lord to America. And it's all about the cities being uninhabitable. And so I start talking about the things that would create that environment. And then on Sunday, as I said, I have this whole thing. I read it. It's a prophetic word on the desolation of America. And it just goes hand in glove with Jeremiah chapter 4. And so you're not thinking, though. You're walking away going, wow, that word was powerful. And that's what people tell me. That word was right on. That word was true. And then you walk away and you hear we got all this other stuff. You look at the news, you turn on the TV, you look around you, you listen to what other people are saying. You're getting into QAnon, and the code is everything is great now. What was intended is no more. And so you get involved in all those other thoughts and ideas, but they're not really what the word of God says to a country that continues to break God's laws and not follow his instructions and actually offend him, okay? And so when you read this, the word, it's so abundantly clear. But then when you look to the world and a lot of different programs, your mind gets confused. Well, waking up this morning again, just hearing that Russia is on Russian television. They're showing the targets of a nuclear strike with their supersonic or hypersonic weapon that could hit the country in 5 minutes because, they've just built and created this. So, I look at that and I think to myself, okay, the president is right now supposedly gone to Vietnam. He's going to meet with Kim Jong-un. We've been talking about nuclear weapons. It's all about denuclearization. In the prophetic word of the desolation of America, it's about your enemies or your friends will betray you, and your friends will turn on you, and things are going to work against you because of the sins and all these different things. So I've kind of seen this before. I've watched this before, and it's a very deep, spiritual, strategic movement, if you will, in the spiritual atmosphere. And so if I were to just summarize what I just said in the last 7 minutes, one of two things is ready to happen in this country. Either the greatest moment of prosperity, where we are all going to unlock our doors, open our windows, breathe in the fresh air of freedom and liberty, and God's judgment is passed away from us, and sunlight is coming, and blue skies, and the turtle dove, and the singing of the birds, and zippity-doo-dah. We're moving into a moment of zippity-doo-dah, and the atmosphere is fresh and scented with all the beauty, and all the evil is gone, all the bad is gone. The idea of God's wrath, God's judgment, or the devil, or tribulation, persecution, all of that is suddenly gone. It just doesn't exist because we've escaped, because somehow God has seen our country turn towards him in a specific way, and it was enough to open the windows, okay, and then come out of the darkness, come out of the covert, come out of the ark, come out of your hiding, come out of your prepared place, and just start living life like we used to all live, back in the whenevers. Okay, either that is the reality and prosperity is going to happen. There's going to be revaluations of financial currencies around the world. Bitcoin users are going to become sudden millionaires, and we're going to move into a time of prosperity like never before. And we're going to just see incredible things, develop. And we're going to see bad laws. I can't even go there yet, but, it's over. It's over. The war is over. And we're all shouting, the war is over. It's over. They caught the bad guy. It's all over. Come on out into the open. It's okay. And, you crazy people on the right, you crazy Christians that were thinking about the end of the world, man, this is just the beginning of the greatest day ever for this country. And you may as well embrace it and get in on it and enjoy it. All right. Either that's the reality, or a second option, this country is about to be devastated by war. This country's cities are about to be burned and become uninhabitable, according to God's word, because the judgment of God was ignored, now comes the wrath of God. Now comes what we have procured upon ourselves. In other words, it's not God getting all angry and going to come and beat us up. No, he just withdraws his presence even more, and he allows the enemy to come and destroy us. But now, in the first scenario, we don't have any enemies anymore. They're all subdued. They're all behind bars. They've all gone away. Kim Jong-un, North Korea doesn't matter anymore. Russia's at peace. China is no longer, we're just doing trade deals. Everybody's prospering. The world is coming to a better place. And it doesn't have anything to do with the lordship of Jesus Christ. It just has to do with somebody made some deals and it's all okay now, right? The Middle East is going to come into peace. Everything's coming into peace. Well, back to the second scenario. If it's not the first, well, then we're hearing these biblical messages that are spelling out the doom of not only our nation, but specifically our nation, the bastion, the last bastion of hope upon this earth, right? And so what is it? Or is it the third option? Both are going to happen simultaneously. On the one hand, there's going to be nuclear bombs going off in major cities across the country, making cities uninhabitable. On the other hand, prosperity is going to be greater than ever before. That seems to be an oxymoron to me. That doesn't seem to be palatable. You know, how could people be enjoying prosperity and wealth while cities are on fire and they can't be inhabited because of nuclear fallout? And so the big question of the moment is, where are we in time? I mean, really, where are we in time? And I'm sitting here and I'm thinking to myself and praying and really trying to be very sober before God and asking, you know, what is my responsibility on this radio broadcast? You know, we have done everything we know to do in our years of ministry. We have been ministering full time for 27 years now. And we have been on the trail of conference speaking. We've spoken at conferences across the country. We have been on radio. We have been on television. We have been preaching behind the pulpit. We have been doing everything. And we've never really changed course. We've graduated in our understanding about things. We've learned many lessons. Still in the process of learning some lessons and humbling ourselves and saying, man, you didn't do that right. And like yesterday, you know, the way I approached the issue was just not right. And nobody told me, except my beloved wife, of course, who agreed with me, because I just felt uneasy about the way I dealt with an issue yesterday. And I had no intention whatsoever of doing it in a way that would bring harm or offense to anybody. And I'm dealing with that issue is my point. So, you know, through the years, we learn how to address, how to speak forward, how to deal in these days where it's like a tennis match. You know, the ball's hit to one side and everybody's head goes over there and then it's hit back the other side and you're looking this way. And it's what Paul the Apostle said, you're tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. In other words, every word that comes out of someone's mouth is wind and it's doctrine. There's some teaching in it. And we are living in this moment where on the one side of this moment, we're hearing nothing but the coming prosperity. We're hearing nothing but the dog barking. We're hearing nothing but the transformation, make America great again. It's all going to be good. We're going to see great things. And we're hearing that. We're going, yeah, well, okay, if that's really what God is saying, then let's get on board with it. If it's really the moment for the church to get on board with this presidency, with this administration, if it's time to see the ecclesia rise to incredible power, to take dominion and to take positions of power and authority, which I am not opposed to. I happen to believe that God gave the church this kind of authority and power to operate in. And unfortunately, we've been watching for decades now a very powerless, impudent church without any real power to bring transformation. That's why we're living in the muck and mire of our moment with all this, you know, this atmosphere that is like the days of Lot, where everyone's spirit is kind of vexed and, you know, we're having imaginations about better days or the singing the songs of Zion as our Babylonian captors are telling us, sing one of the songs. And so it's kind of hard to find, where is everything? I'm hearing what people are saying. I'm a kingdom man. I believe the kingdom of God is sure. I believe it's eternal. It'll never be defeated. And I know we have received a kingdom that cannot be moved. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. We have the anointing. And in our own personal sphere of influence, we operate in that authority and that power by the grace of God. We are protected by God, by the blood of Christ. We have a hedge around us. And God is disciplining us like his kids. If you're out without discipline, you're a bastard. If you're out without chastisement, and the big thing in Hebrews is if you endure chastisement, then he deals with you as with sons. And so we're all going through discipline. And to ignore that, that would be the hubris of pride, if you will. But, you know, we're doing our part, but we're talking nationally now. We're talking globally. Is this the moment where God is calling his people out into the marketplace, out into the field, out into the place to exercise his spiritual dominion, authority, and kingdom power to obliterate the other kingdoms of the world, to rise the kingdom of Christ? Is that what we are witnessing right now? Is the church coming to power? Or are we at the time where God has been telling a lot of us, and maybe we've all been wrong, but he's been saying, no, you need to build an ark. You need to get into a refuge. Everybody quotes Corrie Ten Boom. This will be a refuge in the last days. And if God's been telling everybody about building a refuge and getting into a refuge, you know, why would he do that if it wasn't right? You know, why would there be so many men and women of God who are sanctified, who love God, who are sincere? You know, I'm talking about all of our former elders like David Wilkerson, Dimitri Dudeman, and we could go on down the list. They're just two very powerful men in the kingdom of God. They had a holiness about them. They had a desire to serve the Lord. And why is it that we've been so warned and now God is saying the warning is over? Everything you were told to preach is not going to happen. You are on a pause. You are on a delay. And rather than building that ark or remaining or getting into your covert and walking cautiously and soberly and watching and praying and being spiritually attuned, you know, just go out there now and continue on and know nothing bad's going to happen in your country or around the world. Well, God can do that. I mean, he absolutely could have told Noah to build his ark for 100 and something years and said at the end of his building of the ark, okay, Noah, I've changed my mind because I'm God and I could do it, and I'm glad you built the ark. I appreciate your obedience, but you know what? Things are a lot better on the planet now, so don't worry about it. And so what I have to do is I have to look out at the world in which we live and say, well, are things better? And what is better? It always has to rise to the standard of God. What is God's heart? What is God's intention? Not the, you know, I am God, New Age, metaphysical, Shirley MacLaine sat out on a limb. I think the branch broke for her. But the thing is, you know, what is the truth here? Is the world now coming to the standard that Christ has brought? Are we coming to a place of morality and holiness? We don't even know what morality is, it seems. We have Nancy Pelosi saying it's immoral to build a wall. I mean, that is the limit of people's thinking about morality in our country. It's very, very awkward. And so I'm wanting to know, and here's what I'm kind of leaning towards, and I have to do this. I don't know what else to do. If what we have been ministering all this time, and particularly the last couple of weeks with Jeremiah chapter 4, and then this prophecy that I read, and I'll just be quiet here in a moment and get it out there and start playing it. This desolation of America, all about nuclear bombs going off in this country, and today getting that information out of Russia on their television program with a map that they showed the targets with their hypersonic missile that could strike the country with nuclear weapons in 5 minutes. You know, why is that happening? You know, why is there that connection? You don't hear too many people today talking about nuclear bombs going off in our cities anymore. They used to, but they kind of said that's outdated. You know, we're going to move towards electromagnetic pulses, which may very well be true. I get that. But we're talking about cities uninhabitable here. So we went back to the nuclear thing. Now Russia's touting that again. The president's in Vietnam to denuclearize. the North Koreans. So what's the truth? And so I come back and I say, okay, Father, Holy Spirit, I believe what I'm doing. I believe what I'm saying is true, even though when I look the other way, which I probably shouldn't do anymore, but when I look, because I'm trying to be balanced, you know, and I see all these great things that everybody's talking about, going, oh, wow, wait a second now. Why would there be so much destruction if these great things are happening? And then you ask yourself, are these great things that are happening, not talked about being or going to happen, but are these great things that are happening really connected to the mind of God and to the heart of Jesus Christ and are complementary to the baptism or the Holy Spirit's influence within the nation? Are we seeing God get glory? Is God getting honor in our country and around the world? Because I happen to believe that that's why we're all here, is to give God the glory and to worship him and give him the honor. Okay, so all these wonderful things, I'm looking, okay, what's really wonderful? And I'm thinking about it, I'm looking at it, I'm going, okay, where is it? And I'm hearing this, I'm hearing that, but I can't see it, perceive it. It seems to be more of an imagination, a hope. But is it Christ-centered? Is it God-centered? Is it Holy Spirit-centered? Well, why does that matter? Well, why it matters is because if it's not, God's Bible that is absolutely pointing the finger at the actual condition of our country, which is exactly what was the condition of Israel thousands of years ago, if we are under the same exact microscope of God's Word, we are ready to be dealt with as he dealt with them. Now, I have no problem with that because in the New Testament, Paul the Apostle tells the church at Corinth, remember the things that were done to other nations before you. For example, in Peter and in Jude, we know that Sodom and Gomorrah was set as an example or a pattern for any city or people that would follow its example. This is what will happen to you. Well, we've done it. So why should I ignore? How can I ignore that we have promoted, legislated, advocated, supported homosexuality in our country when at one time Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed for doing the same thing because of the perverse actions? How do we ignore that? And the Bible says that any country or anybody that does that is going to suffer the same consequences as them. So how do I go, wait a second, America's being made great again, and yet we're still legislating these things daily? And so what I keep hearing is, well, you got to be patient. You got to wait. And I'm saying, oh, it's not about me. I live my life every day. You know, my life, I love my life. I have a great life, quite frankly. I get up every day, Monday through Friday, and I get to get back in the Word of God and talk on the radio to the ends of the earth. Anybody that's listening on the internet, they could hear. We're doing these things. I'm going to have Bible study tomorrow night. I'm going to be out tonight. I'm going to be going with my wife, and we're going to get the barking dog, you know, to the clean. You know, we're living. We don't live in a little box. We don't live, you know, in some place. We have built. We have prepared. We have community. We have friends. We have a body of believers that are all like-minded, going in the same direction. And we're all trying to get it right. And when I get a little weak, man, there's three other people in the ministry that'll rise up and take the reins of power and keep going in the same direction and, you know, advocating what Christ wants us to do. And we don't just sit around all day long, all week long, all month long talking about these things. We're more intrinsic in getting the body prepared and equipping it with the good news and bringing transformation and the character and changing the heart and changing the mind and getting truly born again and cleaned up and washed up and prepared as a bride to meet the bridegroom. I mean, our ministry is into deliverance and counseling and prayer and, I mean, you name it, we're in it. So, you know, and we still travel. I mean, our lives are not stuck anywhere. We're not stuck in anything, but you cannot allow your mind to break away from the truth either of what keeps coming up in the Word. And, you know, these last couple of weeks, Jeremiah 4, the desolation of America, nuclear bombs, and now Russia today is talking about the targets with their nuclear weapons. So what is it? What is it? Well, time will tell. Obviously, time will tell. The message is clear for every one of us. Be ready. And as I've said before, I'm spending my days in asking God to get my heart so clean so that there's nothing. My Lord, your Lord, Jesus, said the devil comes and he finds nothing in me. I want to be of that because I don't want the devil to find anything in me. And that's why not even handling things properly, it shakes my entire being. And I think, oh my gosh, I may have offended, or I didn't do that right. I didn't say that right. And I'm just not willing to be so brazen where it's not the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I really believe that the fruit of the Holy Spirit is essential to this moment, because there's a lot of people that are gifted, but they don't have any character, no fruit, right? And we've talked about that over and over again. And so, you know, gifts, whatever they are so secondary to what is most important, which is our lives being ready. So that's what I'm doing, which is called what? I'm working out my salvation with fear and trembling. I want to encourage others to do the same thing. Now, are nuclear bombs going to go off real soon? You know, is there a trumpet going to sound? Here's what I said. And if I play this clip, you'll understand it. Here's what I said. I said, I believe that by the time we get to April, that God is going to begin to supernaturally speak to his people that are in the inner cities of America, particularly just talking about this country, probably all over the world, right? And that there would be a blowing of a trumpet. The Spirit would come to individuals and say, get out. Like he did to Lot, like he did to Joseph and Mary when Jesus was born. He said, get out because Herod wants to kill you. And so I believe that God is going to speak to people, and he's going to tell them in the inner cities, like he did with us when we were on the West Coast, come out of the West Coast and prepare an ark. And God brought us to this place, and we've been here 9 years now, and it hasn't hurt our lives at all. It's just this ongoing theme, this unending theme. And yet you realize that Noah built his ark for 100 years. Jeremiah prophesied for 40 years. I mean, you know, time is in God's hands. And so I believe that there's going to be a call, because as I'm studying, do you know what the Hebrew calendar, and I'm getting now into the deeper Hebraic minds of genuine Hebrew, Israel, Jewish people that study like crazy. You know, they're telling us that right now we're in the year 5998, and this coming April 6th, listen to the number I said, April 6th will be the year 5999. Do you know that you can find that information, and it's solid. As a matter of fact, I'll just kind of read to you a little bit of what some of this information was all about, if I can find this. Hopefully I can. I just put it up there yesterday. Let's see. That's not it. Bummer. So let's open this. There we go. Oh, Father, did I do it? No. All right. So anyways, there's this calendar out there that's telling the world what time it is. And the information is telling us that there was a gap, and in this gap there was a 220 year gap, I guess it was, is what they found. And they used science, and they used all different types of Bibles, and they used measurements and the rotation of the moon and the calendar of 360 days compared to 364. They found this 220-year gap, and they believe and have absolutely stood upon this belief that it is the year 5998, not 5778, but 5998, and that on April 6th, which is the first day of the first month, according to the Bible, the Torah, will begin the new year of 5999. Now, by the time we get to the year 6000, which would be the year 2020, there are other studies out there that, according to the Hebrews, that the entire calendar system would end at 2020 and go back to the very beginning, which is very interesting, because if we're coming into 5999 And then we're going to transition a year later. I believe God's going to wake people up because I believe that the transition between the 6,000 year ending and the beginning of the seventh or the seventh day or the seventh millennium, as we go through the womb, if you will, or the matrix of the greatest tribulation ever hit the face of the earth, we know that at the end of that tribulation, Christ is going to return, set up his kingdom for 1,000 years, and the world's going to go into everything we've desired, but it will be under the lordship of Jesus Christ. So I'm believing that the Holy Spirit's going to open people's hearts and minds. He's going to tell them, it's time to come out. It's time to come out of the cities, because God, according to Scripture, is going to lead people into the wilderness. And I believe that's just the truth. That's just the way it is. And we want to be prepared for that. So let me go ahead and play this clip, and hopefully you'll be all ready to go here. And we'll be able to hear what we were talking about on Sunday. But unfortunately, the first 20 minutes are too much conversation. We don't get into actual reading, and there's no way for me to really fast forward that. So we may have to stop. Let's do this. We've got 29 minutes left on the broadcast today, and I've kind of thrown out shotgun today. Your thoughts? Number to call, 818-369-0326. Your thoughts about what you're hearing today. Have you heard about this television cast in Russia about the targets for their nuclear weapons? I mean, that's been done before, right? How are you feeling about these things? What is the Holy Spirit saying to you? How is God conducting your thoughts and moving your mind about these things? Maybe there's something else on your mind you'd like to talk about today. The number to call, once again, 818-369-0326, and press 1 on your dial pad. We'll make sure to bring you right into the broadcast, and would love to hear from you. So what I'm going to do is tomorrow I'm going to play the entirety of the Desolation of America program, and we'll see how that moves. But for now, why don't we just open the conversation up, waiting for your call. 818-369-0326. What side of the day are we on? What is the truth? What's going on in your heart? What is God showing you? If you were to be a think tank right now, and we were to gather together and sit down and say, okay, by the Holy Spirit's wisdom, by the Holy Spirit's knowledge, you know, where are we in time? Where's that prophetic sense from the body of Christ? Where is that knowledge of the Holy Spirit? What is God saying to his people right now? What is God saying? There's not one of us yet that has been perfected to the degree that we're operating out of the fullness of the mind of Christ. But what is God saying? And, you know, we have these moments where we go, well, God's saying, get ready, get cleaned up. Maybe both are going to happen. But I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you, the body of Christ. I believe there's wisdom in the multitude of counselors. There is safety. Number to call is 818-369-0326. Press 1 on your dial pad. We'll bring you into the broadcast. And I do trust we're broadcasting nice and clear. I know we are. And I'm hoping that we could hear your voice as a discussion forum. A discussion forum. To hear the body of Christ, to hear the voice of many waters, to allow wisdom to flow through the airwaves to awaken, to quicken God's people. Let's take our first call coming in from area code 941. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
God bless you. God bless you. How you doing?
Hey, Danny, I'm doing good. I think I'm doing good. I don't know. How are you doing?
I'm alive.
That's amen
good,
to that,
yeah. Well, you know, I got something to say, if I can just make it short. I'm really hesitant to mention it because it's been in my spirit for some time now, and I don't want to reveal it until I feel more comfortable with it, but I just think that it's a good time. I hear your message is very impressive, and I need to let it off my chest. It was about 5 years ago. 5 years ago, I was in prayer, And, you know, if you know anything about me, I'm fascinated with the prophecy of the two witnesses from Revelation. And I was asking God, because I knew it was coming time, and there's already been dreams and visions that we're coming close to the end, and the witnesses would be revealed on the earth. And I said, when, how long would it be? When would it happen? And 5 years ago, this year, I remember hearing in my spirit on the couch. Now, before I say this, I don't want to say that I know this is true. This is just what I've been praying. I'm still praying about it, and so I'm not sure myself, but this is what I heard 5 years. 5 years ago, I heard 5 years. Now, I know no one knows the day or the hour, and the dates are set by the Father. I don't know anything other than the number five years ago, that there would be 5 years. That when I was asking the Lord, how long until the two witnesses are revealed on the earth? And so I got 5 years. It's still the beginning of this year. I'm not saying it could change, and I could say that doesn't mean they'll be revealed. It might just be the beginning of sorrows. I already think we're in the beginning of sorrows. But I think when the witnesses are revealed, the world's going to be flipped upside down. And that will be a change that everybody's been waiting for. I don't think we have to worry when the Lord sends his prophets. It's bittersweet. It's not going to be what you expected, but it's going to be glorious. Okay. And the glory of the earth will cover, the glory of the Lord will cover the earth like the waters cover the sea.
Amen.
So,
wow.
Thank you for letting me say that, brother.
Oh, absolutely, Dan, and thanks for getting it off and so off your mind. And so, the Revelation 11, the two witnesses, which are two prophets, as I'm looking at what their lives are, it says that these are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceeds out of their mouth and devours their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will.
Right.
Yeah, and so they have some extreme power, and the world does hate them because of the torment that they bring, and that's later on, right?
Yes, and they hated Jesus too. But there's one other thing I'll tell you, and this is just to add in and throw into my mix. I know I said a mouthful today. But believe it or not, and many people won't even believe, but the two witnesses are American. That's all I'm going to say today. And that's good news for America. You're talking about the destruction of the wicked and the prosperity of the saints. If the witnesses are American, that's good news for America. That's all I have to say.
All right, Danny, thank you. I appreciate that call, man. Very good. All right, we'll keep that in our thoughts. We'll keep that in our mind. We'll just kind of let things roll here. I've got a call coming in kind of fresh from area code 406. Good morning. And by the way, what I was just saying is not in any way to demean what was said. We're going to really, 5 years is 5 years. Good morning, area code 406. You're on the air. Welcome to the broadcast.
Hello.
Hello there.
Yeah, I'm up here in Montana, and I recently got deliverance. I've been dealing with demons for most all my life, you know, and always had God tapping me on the shoulder and kind of warning me as far as growing up and stuff to straighten up, and I'd always just kind of ignored it until recently, you know, I finally kind of woke up and found a place to go get deliverance. So I did that like on the 12th. And actually my mom got a hold of Steve Quayle and asked him about a good place in Billings. So I flew down to Billings and I got this done, and it was an amazing experience. I mean, even probably like 40 demons you know, probably got them out. And I was just kind of blown away by it. Went home and talked to Mom about it. And she ended up giving me a bunch of Bibles, one that my grandma just died here last year. She gave me her Bible, and I came home and started reading the Bible. Well, I never have. I mean, I've listened to Steve Quayle. I've listened to you guys forever, for years, you know. And I've never opened up the Bible, really, and read it myself. I've listened to it, like, on the I got the Bible app, but it just wasn't the same. So I opened it up and started reading it. And I mean, it's been an amazing week and a half. I've been repenting, crying, you know, reading the Bible, and the Bible's answering any question I have. It's starting to, it's really opening my eyes, and it's, as far as dealing with these demons, it's, that's a big deal.
Man, that's a huge deal. That is, what's your first name?
Jeremy.
Jeremy. Man, Montana, I think that's a real blessed place. Is Montana a great place to be?
It's beautiful. Well, right now it's been minus 30 degrees, minus 40, so it's been pretty
not
cold.
Good.
But it actually, I needed this too because I'm a carpenter, and the fact that I've had 2 weeks to be able to sit home and read the Bible, and then I listened a lot to Charles Lawson, the pastor Charles Lawson.
Mm-hmm.
And he recommended this Shenandoah Christian Choir. So I put that on YouTube, and I started listening to that while I was reading the Bible, and just started bawling. I mean, just I could feel the presence of God like no other. So now I can hardly even listen to that song without starting to cry, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been quite an experience. But now I got I live in sin. I got a girlfriend I live with that, you know, she's got her demons, and now the fact that I'm trying to get rid of mine, and the fact we still live together, I mean, the upheavals that when I even try and explain what I'm going through, I can't. You know, I her demons just change the subject, you know, and make it to where I can't even tell her what I'm going through. So I'm kind of curious of how, where does a person go from here, you know?
All right,
I mean,
great, Jeremy.
I got this far, and I quit smoking, I quit drinking recently, you know, so I'm still struggling with that. Mm-hmm. But, and trying to read the Bible, accept Jesus, you know, and still when she comes home, I mean, I put her through hell the whole time we were together, pretty much. Mm-hmm. Dealing with, I've always known in the back of my mind, you know, God wants you to read the Bible, straighten up, pull your head out of your ass, but I never have until recently. So now she's on her wit's end, you know, as far as dealing with me anyway. Now I'm sitting here reading the Bible, and I got stuff I could be doing around here, which I do, feed the animals and take care of my chickens and stuff, but as far as other stuff, I just feel compelled to read the Bible and listen to this Christian choir. It's been tough.
Well, Dan or Jeremy, let's talk about this just for a minute. And I know there's probably some people listening right now that have some excellent biblical advice as well. And, you know, my first thoughts in your situation, there seems to be like one of two options. And that is, number one, if you love this woman, and marry her. It's better to marry than to burn, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. You know, that needs to be done. There needs to be some counseling involved in that. If that's not willing to do it, you have to bring separation to what you know is sin, because that'll open the door to the demonic, and it will, you know, invite them in. And you're going through a real, you know, cleansing right now and a struggle right now with the alcohol and the cigarettes, because, you know, this is your soul involved here. And there needs to be some good interaction right now in that relationship. And I think that's super important. And with your permission, there's a lot of people listening on the air right now. Maybe they could share some other advice with you. But I'd like to send you a copy of Patricia's book, my wife. I'm sure you've heard of it, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. And I believe that, as Benjamin Baruch once said, there's an anointing on the book while you're reading it. And so if you wouldn't mind, I'll give you my email address. Do you have a computer up there you can listen to or go to?
No, I don't. I got my phone.
All right, well, give me a call. I'll give you my number, and I'll make sure that we get a book out to you. I'd really like to do that if that's okay with you.
Yeah, you bet.
All right, so so before we get off the air, I'll leave my number. And if anybody is listening, and Patricia, I know you're actually on the air listening right now, and I think it's interesting. Number one, how joyful that Jeremy has turned his heart to the Lord. How joyful that he has gone through the realm of deliverance. Patricia, I mean, this is right up your alley. This is your calling. What are your thoughts about what's going on with Jeremy, and what would you say to him at this point?
Well, I would say to Jeremy that his first responsibility is to do the will of God, to put him first, and not to detain his heart from that by serving this emotional situation. He can't do it under those circumstances. I would not recommend marriage. I would recommend separation for the moment of time. Now, he has to do one or two things. He has to take her in, marry her, even though there is division in thought, mind, and spirit. But the Word of God would have him marry her when she receives Christ as her personal Savior. So I would say what he knows, what he understands, that he must, without doubt, put God before anything else. What is his first love? Is it her or is it the Lord? And this is where we come to fruition as to where we really stand in Christ, making the choices for him rather than against his will.
Amen. Amen.
To send the book, I know it'll be a help to both of them. Perhaps she will sit down and read it with him. We will be praying in the interim for her heart to be softened, that she may desire to want to read the word and have her heart changed like Jeremy's heart has been changed. And as Jeremy does the right thing, he won't be in such confusion. He's in confusion because God did not give him the spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. And he is choosing to stay where he is with this woman. And so God wants that to be placed in a proper and right way in him before anything else is done. So I will say to Jeremy also, do not be afraid. God is with you. God loves you. And he'll help you through this perfectly. But put him first.
Amen. Amen. Excellent advice. Excellent counsel. And Jeremy, that's okay with you to hear these words, yes?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Good. Yeah, very good. Let me take another call here just because we've had some friends holding on for quite some time. Let me talk with one of our elders. This is George calling in. Good morning, George. God bless you, sir. Or is this Pastor Ken? Who is this on the phone? 479-855.
Probably have a couple 855s. George's and mine is. So.
Well, it's you. It's you. Good morning, Pastor Ken. How are you? And any thoughts about Jeremy that's calling in from Montana today?
Well, you know, I think we have a lot of Jeremys out there, and I think that's one of the reasons that God has held off doing what he has planned to do to give people like Jeremy a chance to come to him, to get to know him and give him a chance for eternal life once and for all. And I think more than anything else, what Jeremy needs to do as well is to get into some good, solid Christian counseling in a spirit-filled church that really knows the Lord. And that would help him immensely. But we can get into a lot of things like that later on. But Jeremy is just one example, I think, of what the Lord is doing. You know, the things you're talking about this morning, Pastor, the we've seen so many signs, it's so almost inevitable that the end times are just very fastly approaching. We've seen the signs in the skies. We've seen the wars going on. We see the volcanoes going off. We see all kinds of signs that are leading to the very end. And if people are not ready, it's going to come on upon them so suddenly, they're never going to be ready. And they're going to have some real issues. They need to make a turn like Jeremy has done and begin to accept the Lord and know him, because the time is getting really short. People have heard. I think it is really a prevalent thing, and we need to begin to make that move towards Christ once and for all and get our lives for him.
Well, amen. That's great advice, and it's great exhortation, because the Bible says that in the last days, especially as we see the day approaching, that we should not neglect the gathering of ourselves together. And it is imperative for a young man like Jeremy, and I'm talking about age, I'm talking about young in the spirit. He's finally making that move towards God, where he can be around the counsel of the Holy Spirit with a body of believers, where he can be walking in having Bible studies and prayer and getting involved in that manner. I think it's super important for him to get there. And Jeremy, once again, these are just kind of words of advice from pastors and elders that are kind of listening right now, just wanting to extend their conversation to you.
Sure.
Yeah very
and
cool.
Then, another thing is like being awake to all this, as I am. You know, I've been at it since 9/11 for years. You know, all I do is research and I know the truth about Hollywood, you know, all the witchcraft and all that. But there's nobody else around here that does. So I'm pretty much up here, nobody to talk to about any of this stuff. So
yeah, that's an easy fix, though. All you have to do is move down to Arkansas. We could use a good carpenter down here and help build the ark. And that'll settle everything. You'll have a good community of brothers and sisters around you.
Right. Awesome. Sounds
good. All right. Let me go to another call here. We got another elder calling in from South Dakota. Let's take this call from Ken and Kathy Bruns. Good morning, Ken and Kathy. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes. Concerning, been listening here. Very good advice that has been given to this young man, Jeremy. And I wanted to just bring up something that you brought up earlier concerning Russia. I was just informed concerning some law now that has been passed in Russia. And what it has to do with is the internet. And if you are a Christian conservative there, you will no longer be able to be on any websites. And so this is their law. Now, we're talking communist country. And this was from a person that has done some real research and stuff. So there's laws right now that are being passed, and it's under the, you know, it's persecution is what it is for Christians. So it's time to realize that we are definitely in the end times, and it's going to be affecting America, and probably sooner than we think. And then the other thing that we as Christians here in America have to realize, that even in the book of Luke, in chapter 6, we were warned through that passage there. It says, "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake." So, we're approaching that time. Now, that was verse 22. Then you can drop down as you read that in Luke 6, starting with 22, and in the 26th verse it says, "Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did they their fathers to the false prophets. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, Bless them that curse you and pray for them which desperately, despitefully use you. So we have to be very, very much of the fruits of the Spirit in our lives, as well as discerning the evil. So we're in this very timetable right now, and I do believe that and the glory of God will run parallel.
Parallel. Okay. Yeah, it certainly seems that way. It's the wheat and the chaff growing up together. Thank you for your insights, Kathy. I appreciate them, and I know the rest of the body of Christ does as well. And so as we begin to wind down our broadcast today, I'm finding it pretty awesome that we have friends in South Dakota, Montana. We had some other friends calling in from the 941, which is normally a Florida number. You guys have been awesome. I had a friend call yesterday from Phoenix, Arizona. His name is George, and a friend from Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, Art, stays in touch with me a lot. And one of the things that George said was probably the most – he was very encouraged about the times. This guy's amazing, you know, loves God with his heart, and he just searches out so many different matters. He said, remember, everything's about compassion right now for people. And I happen to agree with him. And so to our dear friend Jeremy up in Montana, may the compassion of the Holy Spirit fill your heart. May God deliver you from the stronghold of alcoholism and cigarette smoking, and that when you get brought to that place of temptation, that he'll always make a way of escape according to the word of God, that you do not and you are not, according to Romans chapter 6, a slave to these things. We declare the victory with you right now, Jeremy. We declare that God is going to make a way where there seems to be no way, because you're calling upon his name. He's going to open up some doors of opportunity. He's going to enlighten your mind as to exactly what you need to do in this relationship with your girlfriend right now. We're going to pray for her soul, that she will get born again, and that demonic in her will be bound, so that she could think out of the own influences of her mind, and maybe the Holy Spirit could just, you know, impart revelation to her as well. And so this is what it's all about. It's all about salvation. When we were in Florida last week, we were at a ministry, and a guy came along with that Rastafarian long locks, man. His name was Dalton. He got born again right there, gave his life to Jesus Christ, and to be a part of that was the most thrilling thing. So as Pastor Ken said, let's get out there. Let's continue to share the good news of the gospel while we can. We know that we're called to occupy until he comes. We know that the darkness comes when no man will be able to work. So while there's light, let us labor in the kingdom of God, and let's keep our heads sober. Let's continue to look through the biblical lens. We're going to know the truth. It's a dark time. Even the elect can be deceived. But I'm believing that God's grace and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God are going to keep an anointing in our minds, that the lamp will be lit, the candle will be burning, the flame will be directing, and God will be a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Stay together in the body of Christ. Get where God wants you to be. Fellowship with whom God wants you to fellowship. And that's what we've been saying for years. Be in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people right now. And if you make a mistake, if you mess up, remember, get back on your feet. Don't stay down long. There's no point in it. Now, what I'm going to do is over on Omega Radio, I'm going to play what I did on Sunday with Pastor Ken and I, The Desolation of America. It is an hour and 15 minutes. It is The Desolation of America. Following that, Patricia Joy, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, omegaradio.org. And we're going to start that right now. We're going to say goodbye to our listeners on the Blog Talk Radio until we meet again. This is Pastor Vince. Shalom. Head on over to right now, Omega Radio. You'll hear The Desolation of America. Weigh it. Judge it. God give you wisdom on what to do. Shalom and God bless.